Have you turned Romans chapter 7 into your I'm only human permission slip to sin? Discover why Paul never gave you a license to sin and how you actually can walk in real victory, not cheap grace. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. If you haven't checked us out, go to fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We are in the middle of legislative session, and we are asking everyone out there to let their voice be heard by registering their position. There's a lot of bills that we need to stand for righteousness and stand for bringing God glory and honor. So make sure that you're registering your position. If you've downloaded that Washington Defender app and you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to place this in your huddle. That allows us to share the word of God across the street, around our state, in county to county, and so forth. Also want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. Your $10 up $20, whatever the amount is, it doesn't matter the amount. It really helps us keep programming like this moving forward. Also, our prayer tours that are going on, our legislative feedback that's going on, our register your positions that's going on, our lobbying that's going on, all the stuff we're doing to try to stand for biblical values in the public square. We are in a series right now called Sin in My Life, and it has been an absolute blessing for me personally just to go through this and remind myself of what God says about sin. Now, as we dive into Romans chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, it's going to be the beginning. There'll actually be 2 days of this, but it'll be the beginning of what I call the excuse chapters. There is a teaching in our culture, in our church today, that, we're human, so we're just going to do stuff that dishonors and displeases God because we're human. The key about understanding Scripture is that we understand it in context. In other words, what happens in chapter 7 is defined by what happened in chapter 6, which is also defined what is going to happen in chapter 8. So 6, 7, and 8 need to be taken in their totality in order to really understand chapter 7. And there can't be any contradictions. So that is so key to what we're going to look at today. So let's read it. We'll read through the scriptures like we normally do, and then we're going to break it down. It says, "So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful." That's our main thought, utterly sinful. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh." And this is where you want to say, wait just a second. Did he just say, I'm of the flesh? Because in chapter 6, we're going to look at that. He says the exact opposite. "Sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good." So this last little section here, if not taken into context, you may say, see, I'm human, I'm going to sin, so oh well, might as well go out and sin. And we're going to see if that is actually true. Is that what Paul is saying? Or is he saying he has a wrestling, a battle that is going on inside of him? And yes, he does stumble and fall at times, but he is also victorious for the bulk of the time. So let's look at what do we learn about the law? Let's start with that. So then the law is holy. So number one, holy, and the commandment is holy, and it's righteous, and it's good. So we know that there's no problem here with the word of God. This is not the issue. Okay. So we also know that there's no contradictions in this word. It really is not the issue. So it says, "Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me?" And he answers that, which is, did the word of God, did the law, the commandments, did it become a point of death? May it never be. He's going to make a different argument that's here. He says, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin shown to be sin. So we have an outside force called sin. And we know that this outside force, outside of the word of God, is pressing in. So we have the law written in our heart, we have our flesh, and those two things are in a battling. And then we have if we're born again, we have a new spirit inside of us. And so we see a transition from once where we went along with sin, we followed sin to death, we did all these kind of things. Now we're in this wrestling match, we're in this battle for it. So this chapter is not to be an excuse so that you can go out and sin and live however you want. Okay? So he says, but by affecting death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. The commandment shows us just how sinful we are. It needs to become utterly sinful to us, that we know that there is no good that dwells inside of us, in our flesh, that is. But the same, by the same token, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and has set us free. So, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin, and the law is spiritual. So, you're looking at this and you're like, okay, wait, I thought Paul just said in chapter 6 something totally different, like we're not in the flesh any longer, that we are no longer in bondage to sin. But now he's saying I'm in the flesh and I'm in bondage to sin. What's the dealio here? What's going on? Well, let's go back and read in chapter 6 again those things that we saw. I've died to sin. Okay, wait, but you just said I was sold into bondage to sin. I've been baptized into Christ's death, Romans 6, 3. I've been buried with Christ, Romans 6, 3 through 7. I walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 through 7. I'm united with Christ, Romans chapter 6. My body of sin has been done away with. Wait a minute, wait. Did Paul just contradict himself? Or are we misunderstanding Romans chapter 7? Could that be that? I am no longer a slave to sin. Do you see that? And that's also Romans chapter 6. I am freed from sin. I live with Christ. Death is no longer my master. I live to God. I am dead to sin. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6 again. I do not let sin reign in my mortal bodies. Ah, look at that one. I do not let sin reign in my mortal body. Romans 6, 12 through 14. I do not obey the lust of sin in my body. I do not present my body as an instrument of unrighteousness. So Romans chapter 6, here's the thing, guys. It is setting up the context to understand Romans chapter 7. Because if we don't understand Romans 6, we're going to misapply or shoplift or take out of context Romans chapter 7, and you're going to end up saying, well, I'm just human, so I'm going to sin, so I'm going to do whatever I want. He's saying, no. Don't present your body as an instrument of sin. Don't obey the lust of your flesh. I present myself to God alive from the dead. I present myself as an instrument of righteousness. Look at these are all the things that we studied in the days past. And if you're just jumping in today, go back and listen to these different devotionals each and every day, because I unpack each one of these. Sin shall not be your master. Sin shall not be your master. Look at that. Shall I sin because I'm under the law, under grace? No, present yourselves to someone, right? We all do this. The one you obey is the one that you're presenting yourself. Sin results in death, Romans chapter 6. Obedience results in righteousness. I was a slave to sin. I am a slave to righteousness. Shall I sin? I mean, he just goes through this over and over. In Romans chapter 6, I'm ashamed of my sin. The outcome of these things is death. I've been freed from sin. I'm enslaved to God, resulting in sanctification. And in Romans chapter 6, just lays out what appears to be everything opposite of the cheap grace gospel that we preach today, that basically says, well, you're human. You're going to strike out. We all do it. It's okay. Is that really what Romans chapter 7 means? Because if that is the case, then Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 are in contradiction to Romans chapter 7. Or we're misunderstanding Romans chapter 7. This is so I don't know how to explain it any other way. This is so incredibly important. We don't have a license to sin because we're under grace. This is his whole argument. Included in the argument is Romans chapter 7. The outcome is eternal life for those who walk in obedience. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And then you say, well, you just went through 6. What about 8? However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But you said, Brian, wait. didn't we just read way back up here? Didn't we read that it says, let me go up there, right there. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. But then you read in Romans chapter 8 down here, that's in chapter 7, you read, I'm not of the flesh, I'm of the spirit. So which is it? I mean, Paul is confusing me here. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. I want you to think about what Paul is saying in Romans. So 6, he says you're free from sin. 8, he says you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Now, this is the key to understanding Romans 7. Paul isn't waking up in the morning and say, well, you know, I'm just going to look at porn today because I'm just a guy. Yep, I'm a guy. I'm going to look at pornography today. Yeah, I'm just a weak guy, but I'm a Christian. I have Christ, but I'm going to do the thing that's contrary to God. Yep, we all sin. Romans 7 says, I do the things I hate. No. That's not what Paul is saying. Or he's not waking up and saying, yep, I'm just going to worship a false idol today. No big deal. I'm a human. I'm going to do it. Because in Romans 6, he says you're free. In Romans 8, he says you're free. We have to understand this differently. He's saying you are still a human, you know, of flesh and blood, and you still have a battle going on. But do you actually hate sin? Is sin actually utterly sinful to you? Or are you just kind of going along to get along, doing all the things that just please your flesh? Or are you truly walking in the newness of life? But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. Notice this. He's not in chapter 7 making an excuse for his sin. Notice that. He's not justifying his sin. He's not winking at his sin. He's not nodding at his sin. He's not saying it's, quote, okay. He is saying, I hate it. I hate that I still have some sanctification to be worked out in my heart. And he says, I can't believe that sometimes I still stumble. And stumbling is incredibly different than walking in willful disobedience. Look at this. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do. Okay? He doesn't like when he stumbles, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Our culture in the church today has taken Romans chapter 7 and really 1 John chapter 1 and has said, well, you're just going to sin after you become a Christian. And we've normalized sin in our life because we don't want people to feel the pressure of the law written upon their hearts. Or you might say it this way. We don't want people to feel convicted by the Holy Spirit as being wrong. And I'm here to tell you today, if you are sinning against God and the Holy Spirit convicts you, praise God. That means the Spirit of the living God rests inside of you. And I would encourage you to repent, to commit not to doing that sin any longer, to walking in the newness of life. But you're not going to be successful if you keep telling yourself every time you get up to swing that bat that you're going to strike out. I've shared this story many times, and that is I was in Little League for just a short period of time. And every time I went to go get up to bat, I told myself, I'm going to strike out. I'm going to miss. I'm going to strike out. I'm never going to get on base. Why am I even doing this? I'm going to get hit by the ball. And guess what? I never hit the ball. I never got on base, and I always struck out. Don't use Romans chapter 7 to have that mentality, because that's not what he's saying. He's saying this. When the ball of sin comes to your life and it's flying your way, you're like, you know what? I'm going to hit a home run for the glory of God. I'm going to knock that sin right out of my life, out of this ballpark, and I'm going to run around these bases for the glory of Almighty God. I am not giving into it. And why am I not giving into it? Because A, I have died with Christ. B, I have been resurrected with Christ. C, I am no longer in the flesh, but I'm in the spirit. I am going to use these scriptures, Romans 6 and 8, to let me know that I am victorious and as authoritative as possible, the things of Almighty God. Some of you who've been a Christian for a long time, this is your excuse chapter because you've shoplifted this out of the bookends, Romans 6 and 8. And yet 6 and 8 say you're victorious. 7 just says you're human. Okay, I get it. You're human. But you can be a victorious human because Jesus Christ dwells in you. And the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise you from that lousy sin. He says, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, this is the key. Do you not want to do it? Whatever it is. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's, I don't know, gluttony. Maybe it's sexual. Maybe I don't know what your sin is. Whatever that sin is in your life. Do you not want to do it? Are you actually wrestling with that sin? That's just the law of God working on your heart. Turn to the living God and say, yes, God, you are so, so very right. God, you are amazing. God, you are holy. Thank you. Thank you for resurrecting me from the dead. That's the authority of the believer, not the coward. Not being a cowardly believer where you just cower down to sin and say, I'm human. See, Paul says he does these things too. That's what I want you to have today. I want you to experience the victory that's inside of you today. It's the resurrection victory of Jesus Christ, conquering sin and death in the world, but also very personally conquering sin and death in my life. So what is our application? Do you wrestle with your daily life? Do you wrestle with your daily life? I mean, is there a wrestling match that's happening? Because if it is, good. Good. At least you're wrestling. Or have you just become roadkill where you just lay down and give in to sin? Wrestling with sin is good. Dancing with it, giving into its desires and deceptions, going along and holding its hand and just saying, well, it is who I am. That's how my dad was. That's how my mom was. That's, you know, whatever. No. Willfully disobeying and living in sin is not the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life says, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, I'm going to do it for the glory of Almighty God. No temptation has overcome me except for what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will provide a way out. That is the context, that you are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. And that reality is by faith. See, I still struggle. Of course you are. You're in a fallen world. What do you expect? This is a fallen world. You're going to struggle. You are going to struggle at times, but you never have to give in. You can have a day of righteousness, not self-righteousness, but a day that you take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ, a day where you allow Jesus to fight off that sin in your life, and you take authority over it. You say, no, the Word of God says, and you answer your sin with the Word of God. I am more than a person of pleasure. I am a mighty man of valor for God. I stand strong to bring glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That can be your life today. As you walk into that workplace, you don't have to be a cusser. You don't have to be a hater. You don't have to be a judgmental person. You don't have to be a coward. You don't have to be a flimsy. You don't have to be all that. All you have to be is what your identity is in Christ. Brand new, set free, walking strong, courageous, bold, lion, that you are as gentle as a lamb. God is going to use you mightily today for his glory. Do you hear me? You're victorious. Not because of who you are. You're not a big deal. But Jesus inside of you is a big deal. Walk in that freedom today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day and that we are not victims of our flesh, that we don't have to give in, that you have done everything to set us free. God, we take our rightful stand in the armor of God, putting on the full armor of God today, and we know that, and when we stand, that we will stand for righteousness and holiness and justice and mercy and humility. God, knowing that you have provided all that we need for our daily life today. God, we don't have to give in to sin. As you know, God, you have said that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. That you bought us with the price of the blood of your Son. And so we have been bought, redeemed, set upon the rock. We are brand new, and we thank you for that, God. Help us not to use scripture like Romans 7 out of context and say, see, it's my excuse. Let us hate sin and say that the law is good. Let us know that nothing good dwells inside of us, but only if there's any ounce of good, it's the Spirit of the living God dwelling there. It's not in our flesh or in our own abilities or our own righteousness or self-righteousness. It is in you. Thank you for fighting the battle. We wrestle today. And God, you are going to give us the power to win. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.